Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections, the city, the state, and the nation. This is your election guru, Mark Brown here. Glad you could join us today. And I remind you, you're listening to our recording provided for the use of those who are blind or print impaired. Materials or items run in Ayers, LA, are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Right? Right. Okay. So, we're going to take a little break from giving you up to date on our Prop 50 election. There's a few other things that have happened this past week we must bring you up to date on. Going national to the New York City mayoral race, somebody has actually dropped out. From the nation section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 29, 2025, NYC Mayor Adams abandons his re-election bid after a turbulent year. By Jake Offenhart and Anthony Isaguirre. New York. New York City Mayor Eric Adams ended his struggling re-election campaign Sunday and acknowledgement that he was no longer a credible contender after a year of scandal and political turmoil. In a video released on social media, Adams spoke proudly of his tenure as mayor, but said he is now dismissed federal corruption case that left voters wary of him, and constant media speculation about his future made it impossible to raise enough money to run a serious campaign. Despite all we achieved, I cannot continue my re-election campaign, he said. Adams did not endorse any of the remaining candidates in the race, but he warned of insidious forces that he said he used local government to advance divisive agendas. This is not change, that is chaos, Adams said. Instead, I urge New Yorkers to choose leaders not by what they promise, but what they have delivered. Adams' exit could potentially provide a lift to the campaign of former Governor Andrew Cuomo, a fellow Democratic centrist who was running as an independent, who has portrayed himself as the only candidate able to beat the Democratic Party's nominee, State Assembly member Zoran Mamdani. It was unclear, though, whether enough Adams supporters would shift their allegiance to Cuomo to make a difference. Mamdani, 33, would be the city's youngest and most liberal mayor in generations if elected. He beat Cuomo decisively in the Democratic primary by campaigning on a promise to try to lower the cost of living in one of the world's most expensive cities. In a statement after Adams' announcement, Mamdani took aim at Cuomo, who was trying to make a political comeback after resigning the governor's office after being accused of sexual harassment by multiple women. New York deserves better than trading in one disgraced corrupt politician for another. On November 4, we're going to turn the page on the politics of big money and small ideas and deliver a government every New Yorker can be proud of, Mamdani said. Cuomo said in a statement on social media praised Adams for putting the well-being of New York City ahead of personal ambition. We face destructive extremist forces that would devastate our city through incompetence or ignorance, but it is not too late to stop them, Cuomo said. Republican Curtis Sliwa also remains in the race, though his candidacy has been undercut from within his own party. President Trump, in a recent interview, called them not exactly prime time. Speculation that Adams wouldn't make it to Election Day had been rampant for a year. His campaign was severely wounded by both the bribery case, since dismissed by the Justice Department after he agreed to cooperate with Trump's immigration crackdown, and liberal anger over his warm relationship with Trump. He skipped the Democratic primary and got on the ballot as an independent. Polls conducted in early September illustrated his challenges. One survey by the New York Times, Siena University, and another by Quinnipiac University showed likely voters favoring Mamdani over Cuomo, with Sliwa and Adams trailing farther behind. The Quinnipiac poll suggested the gap between Mamdani and Cuomo could narrow if Adams dropped out. The Times Siena poll suggested that if both Adams and Sliwa withdrew, Mamdani's advantage over Cuomo could shrink even further. Sliwa, though, has repeatedly said he would not quit. Curtis Sliwa is the only candidate who can defeat Mamdani, his spokesperson Daniel Kurzina said Sunday. In recent weeks, Trump administration and intermediaries interested in blocking Mamdani's path to victory by getting him into a one-on-one matchup with Cuomo had approached Adams to see if he could be coaxed out of the context with with an offer from a government job. Amid reports on those discussions, Adams called a news conference where he pledged to keep running and derided Cuomo and Mamdani as spoiled brats. Later on social media, Adams called Cuomo a liar and a snake. Adams, 65, is the city's second black mayor, a former New York City police captain, and Brooklyn borough president. He took office in 2022, promising to crack down on crime and revitalize a city still bouncing back from the COVID-19 pandemic. On a signature issue, he succeeded. Crime rates that ticked upward after COVID-19 hit the city have fallen back to pre-pandemic levels, though it's unclear how much that had to do with Adams' policies. But scandals and corruption probes have crippled Adams' chances at another term. Over a head-spinning period of weeks last year, his police commissioner, schools chancellor, and several deputy mayors resigned following a series of federal raids on their homes. None have faced criminal charges. Then in late September, federal prosecutors brought fraud and bribery charges, accusing Adams of accepting illegal campaign contributions and steep travel discounts from a Turkish official and others. In exchange, prosecutors alleged he accelerated the opening of Turkey's diplomatic building, among other things. Adams denied wrongdoing and pledged to remain in office. He also began speaking warmly about Trump, then seen as having a growing chance of regaining the White House. He defended Trump in media briefings, urging his party to tone down the rhetoric against the Republican and refrain from criticizing him. After Trump won, Adams met with Trump's chief board policy advisor, Tom Homan, and pledged to cooperate the administration's immigration crackdown. In February, Trump's Justice Department ordered federal prosecutors in New York to drop the charges against Adams so the mayor could assist with the Republican president's immigration agenda. The extraordinary intervention triggered fresh tumult in City Hall and the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office, with some of Adams' closest allies suggesting he had struck a deal with the White House for his freedom. Adams announced he would skip the June Democratic primary, but would stay in the race. In late August, Adams' former top advisor was hit with fresh bribery charges. That was NYC Mayor Adams abandons his re-election bid after turbulent year by Jake Olfanatz and Anthony Izaguirre, from the Nation section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 29, 2025. Offenarts and Izaguirre write for the Associated Press. All right, and onto our governor's race. There was a debate that happened not too long ago from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 29, 2025. Governor hopefuls jostled to stand out at debate by Julia Wick and Seema Mehta. In a darkened airport hotel ballroom, a bevy of California Democrats sought to distinguish themselves from the crowded field running for governor in 2026. It was not an easy task, given that the lineup of current and former elected officials sharing the stage at the Sunday morning forum agreed on almost all the issues, with any differences largely playing out in the margins. They pledged to take on President Trump, making the state more affordable, safeguard immigrants, and provide them with Medi-Cal health care benefits, and keep the state's over-budget bullet train project intact. There is not yet any clear front runner in the race to run the station's most populous state, although former Orange County Rep. Katie Porter has a small edge in recent polls. Aside from an opaque dig from the former state controller Betty Yee, Porter was not attacked during the debate. They were joined on stage by former U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra, California Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman, and former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. State Senator Tony Atkins, who was supposed to participate, dropped out due to illness. Wealthy first-time political candidate Stephen J. Klubeck withdrew due to a scheduling conflict. The forum was sponsored by the National Union of Healthcare Workers in partnership with the Los Angeles Times and Spectrum News. It was held in Los Angeles and moderated by Associated Press National Planning Editor Lisa Matthews with LA Times California Politics Editor Phil Willen, Spectrum News One News Anchor Amrit Singh, and Politico senior political reporter Melanie Mason asking the questions. Senator Alex Padilla and businessman Rick Caruso have both publicly flirted with a bid for the state's top office, but have yet to make a decision. Two major GOP candidates, Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco and conservative commentator Steve Hilton, are also running for California governor, but neither were invited to the debate because they did not complete an endorsement questionnaire from the union. California's June 2nd gubernatorial primary is just 8 months away. But the horde hoping to replace Governor Gavin Newsom has been competing for attention against an extraordinarily crowded landscape with an unexpected special election this November, pulling both dollars and attention away from the race for governor. They say nothing of the fact that the race has been somewhat frozen in place for months until the end of July, when former Vice President Kamala Harris finally announced she would not be running. The candidates reiterated their support for Proposition 50, the Newsom-led November ballot measure to help Democrats win control of the U.S. House of Representatives next year by redrawing California congressional districts. Newsom pushed for the measure to counter efforts by Republican-led states to reconfigure their congressional districts to ensure that GOP keeps control of Congress. "This is not a fight we actually wanted to have," Yee said. "This is in response to a clear attempt to mute our representation in Washington." The candidates repeatedly focused on their families' origins as well as their efforts to protect immigrants while serving in elected office. Thurman raised his upbringing in his opening remarks. "I know what it is to struggle. You know that my grandparents were immigrants who came from Colombia, from Jamaica. You know that I am the descendant of slaves who settled in Detroit, Michigan," he said. Becerra highlighted his support for undocumented people to have access to state health care coverage, as well as a successful lawsuit protecting undocumented immigrants brought to this nation as young children that reached the Supreme Court. "As the son of immigrants, I know what happens when you feel like you're excluded," he said. Becerra and Thurman addressed the diverse audience in Spanish. Yee, who spoke about sharing a room with her immigrant parents and siblings, also raised her background during a lightning round question about what the candidates plan to dress up on as Halloween. "My authentic self as a daughter of immigrants," she said. The debate was overwhelmingly cordial, but there was some dissent when the topic turned to Proposition 36, a 2024 anti-crime ballot measure that imposed stricter penalties for repeat theft and crimes involving fentanyl. The ballot measure, which undid key parts of the 2014 criminal justice reform ballot measure Proposition 47, sowed division among California Democrats, with Newsom and groups including the ACLU strongly opposing it. Its passage marked a turning of the tide in Californians' attitude about criminal justice reform and response to a crime, following years of support for progressive policies that leaned away from punitive prison sentences for lower-level crimes. First, Villaraigosa contended that he was the only candidate on stage who had supported Proposition 36, though Porter and Becerra quickly jumped in to say that they, too, had supported it. But Porter also contended that despite her support, there were very real problems with it and very real shortcomings. "The measure should have also focused on prevention, and incarcerating people for drug offenses doesn't make anyone safer," she said. Thurman strayed sharply from the pack on the issue, saying he voted no on Proposition 36 and citing his career as a social worker. Prop 36, by design, was set up to say that if you have a substance abuse issue, then you will get treatment in jail, Thurman contended, suggesting that the amount of drugs present in the prison system would make the outcome difficult. As governor, he would put more money into treatment for substance abuse programs and diversion programs for those who commit minor crimes, he said. When the candidates were asked to raise their hands if they supported a single-payer health care system, Porter and Villaraigosa did not, while Becerra, Yee, and Thurmond did. Issues of affordability are top of mind for most Californians, particularly when it comes to housing. Thurman said he would build 2 million housing units on surplus land and school sites around the state and provide a tax break for working and middle-class Californians. Villaraigosa also focused on the need to build more housing, criticizing bureaucratic red tape and slow permitting processes. Villaraigosa also twice critiqued CEQA, notable because the landmark California Environment Quality Act was once held seemingly above reproach by California Democrats. But the law's flaws have become increasingly accepted in recent years as the state's housing crisis worsened, with Newsom signing two bills to overhaul the law and ease new construction earlier this year. Porter said that if she were governor, she would sign SB 79, a landmark housing bill that overrides local zoning laws to expand high-density housing near transit hubs. The controversial bill, which would potentially remake single-family neighborhoods within a half mile of transit stops, is awaiting Newsom's signature or veto. That was Governor Hochul's jostle to stand out at debate by Julia Wick and Seema Mehta. From the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 29, 2025. All right, and news from our gubernatorial race. Somebody has dropped out. From the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, September 30, 2025, Atkins pulls out of race to succeed Newsom. Former state Senate leader was one in a wide field vying to be the next governor by Laura J. Nelson. San Diego Democrat and former state Senate leader Tony Atkins dropped out of the 2026 California governor's race Monday, part of a continued reshuffling and contraction of the wide field of candidates vying to replace Governor Gavin Newsom. Atkins told supporters in a letter Monday afternoon that during a childhood in rural Virginia, she often felt too country, too poor, too gay to fit in. After building a life on the West Coast where she found acceptance and opportunity, she worked for decades to build on the promise of California and extend it to future generations, she said. That's why it's with such a heavy heart that I'm stepping aside today as a candidate for governor, Atkins wrote. Despite the strong support we've achieved and all we've achieved, there is simply no viable path forward to victory. Atkins began her political career on the San Diego City Council after serving as a women's clinic administrator. She became the first out LGBTQ plus person to serve as Senate President Pro Tem, the top position in the California Senate. She was also the Speaker of the State Assembly, making her the first legislator since 1871 to hold both leadership posts. In Sacramento, Atkins was a champion for affordable housing and reproductive rights, including writing the legislation that became Proposition 1 in 2022, codifying abortion rights in the California Constitution after national protections were undone by the U.S. Supreme Court. With President Trump and his allies gutting health care, cratering our economy, and stripping away fundamental rights and freedoms, Atkins told supporters Monday, "We've got to make sure California has a Democratic governor leading the fight, and that means uniting as Democrats." Under California's nonpartisan primary system, the top two vote-getters, regardless of party, advance to the general election. Votes on the left could be fractured among half a dozen Democratic candidates, creating a more viable path forward for one of the two high-profile Republicans in the race to make it to the November ballot. Atkins picked up millions of dollars in donations after entering the governor's race in January 2024 and reported having $4.3 million on hand, more than most candidates at the end of the first half of the year. More recent reports from major donations suggest her funding had lagged behind former Orange County-based U.S. Rep. Katie Porter, former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, and former State Attorney General and Biden appointee Javier Becerra. Although well-known in political circles, Atkins is not a household name. Recent polls, conducted by the UC Berkeley and co-sponsored by The Times, showed her support in the single digits. 9 months before the primary, the field of candidates is still in flux, and many voters are undecided. At the end of July, former Vice President Kamala Harris made the biggest news of the campaign when she said she would not run. Shortly afterward, her political ally, Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konalakis, abandoned her gubernatorial bid and announced she would run for state treasurer. Some polling has shown that Porter, who left Congress after losing a bid for a rare open seat in the U.S. Senate, is the candidate to beat. Last week, lobbyist and former state legislative leader Ian Calderon, 39, launched his campaign for governor, calling it the advent of a new generation of leadership. Calderon, 39, was the first millennial elected to the state assembly and the youngest ever majority leader of the state assembly. He is part of a political dynasty from LA County that's held power in Sacramento for decades. His family's name was clouded during his time in Sacramento when two of his uncles served prison time in connection with a bribery scheme, but Calderon was not accused of wrongdoing. That was Atkins pulls out of Race to Succeed Newsom by Laura J. Nelson from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, September 30, 2025. Well, continuing with the gubernatorial race, as you just heard the last part of the article, someone has dropped in. So let's bring you up to date there. This is actually from calmatters.org. This is called Millennial Democrat Ian Calderon Announces Bid for California Governor by Jeannie Kuang for September 23rd, 2025. While you're here, on the November 4th, Californians will decide whether the state should gerrymander its congressional districts, sign up for key dates on the special election. Former state lawmaker Ian Calderon is joining the crowded 2026 race for California governor he announced Tuesday. The Whittier Democrat is framing his candidacy as one of a new generation of leadership. He was 27 when he became the first millennial to be elected to the state assembly in 2012. But he was no newcomer even then. Calderon comes from a line of politicians from southeast Los Angeles County. His father, Charles Calderon, started the dynasty when he was elected to the assembly in 1982. Two of his uncles also served in the legislature and federal prison for corruption. Ian Calderon left the assembly, where he was majority leader, in 2020 to focus on his young family and his stepmother, Lisa Calderon, now holding his seat. But he's been biding his time for a return. In a campaign video that heavily features his wife and children, he said, since leaving office, he's been living in the real world, watching everyday life get harder for families like mine. He highlighted the high cost of gas, childcare, and housing, taking particular aim at investing firms buying up properties. The people running our government, they're trying to use yesterday's ideas to solve today's problems, and it isn't working, he said. He joins a crowd of Democrats jockeying in a wide-open race for the governorship, including State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman, former Comptroller Betty Yee, former State Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins, former Rep. Katie Porter, and former U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, and former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Republicans Chad Bianco, the Sheriff of Riverside County, and commentator Steve Hilton are also running. Polling in August showed Porter was the frontrunner after former Vice President Kamala Harris decided not to run. That was Millennial Democrat Ian Calderon Announces Bid for California Governor by Jeannie Kuang from calmatters.org for September 23rd, 2025. Okay, we're all up to date now. Back to Proposition 50 from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Thursday, September 18, 2025. Both sides in Prop 50 fight rally their bases. Newsom leads online push for redistricting as opponents decry effort to counter GOP by Julia Wick and Seema Mehta. The multi-million dollar jousting over redrawing California's congressional districts to boost Democrats and counter President Trump was on full display in recent days as both sides courted voters less than a month before ballots began arriving in mailboxes. Governor Gavin Newsom, the national Democratic leaders, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, and a slew of political influencers held an hours-long virtual rally Tuesday afternoon, urging Californians to support Proposition 50 in the November 4th special election. Speakers framed the stakes of the ballot measure as nothing short of existential, not just for Democratic interests, but also for democracy. It's all at stake. This is a profound and consequential moment in American history. We can lose this republic if we do not assert ourselves and stand tall at this moment and stand guard for this republic and our democracy. I feel that in my bones, Newsom said Tuesday afternoon. If passed, Proposition 50 would gerrymander the state's congressional districts to favor Democrats, bolstering the fates of several Democrats in vulnerable swing districts and potentially costing Republicans up to five House seats. California's congressional districts are drawn by a voter-approved independent commission once a decade after the U.S. Census, but Newsom and other state Democrats proposed a rare mid-decade redrawing of the districts to increase the number of Democrats in Congress in response to similar efforts in GOP-led states, notably Texas. Tuesday's virtual rally, which was emceed by progressive influencer Brian Tyler Cohen, was a cross between an old-school money-raising telethon and new media streaming session. Popular podcasters and YouTubers such as Crooked Media's Jon Favreau and Tommy Vietor, alumni of former President Obama's administration, Ben Mycelas of Midas Touch, and David Pakman shared the screen with political leaders, with an on-screen fundraising thermometer inching higher throughout. Cohen argued that people like him had been begging Democrats to fight Trump, and now elected officials have done their part by getting Proposition 50 on the ballot, he said, urging viewers to donate to support the effort. Warren argued that Trump was a would-be king, but if Democrats could retake control of either chamber of Congress, that would be stopped, she said. And if we have both houses under Democratic control, Warren continued, now we are truly back in the game in terms of making our Constitution work again. The exhaustive list of speakers represented the spectrum of the modern left, with standard bearers such as Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York, alongside rising stars including Representatives Jasmine Crockett, Democrat of Texas, and Maxwell Frost, Democrat of Florida. A number of California delegates, including Senator Alex Padilla, and Representatives Ted Lieu, Robert Garcia, Pete Aguilar, Jimmy Gomez, and Sidney Kamalager-Dove also spoke. The event had been scheduled to take place September 10, but was postponed after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk earlier that day. Jessica Milan Patterson, the former leader of the California Republican Party and chair of an anti-Proposition 50 committee, accused Newsom of scrambling for out-of-touch messengers to sell his scheme. For Gavin Newsom, it's all distraction and deflection. Instead of addressing the $283 million price tag taxpayers are stuck with for his partisan power grab, he's hosting a cringeworthy webinar packed with D.C. politicians, out-of-state influencers, and irrelevant podcasters all lining up to applaud his gerrymandered maps, Milan Patterson said in a statement Tuesday. Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who championed the creation of the Independent Redistricting Commission while in office and has campaigned to stop gerrymandering across the nation after his term ended, forcefully denounced Proposition 50 on Monday. They are trying to fight for democracy by getting rid of the democratic principles of California, Schwarzenegger told hundreds of students at an event celebrating democracy at the University of Southern California. It's insane to let that happen. The former governor, a Trump foe, who has prioritized good governance at his institute at USC, said the effort to dismantle the Independent Commission's congressional districts to counter Trump are anti-democratic. They want to get rid of it under the auspices of "we have to fight Trump," Schwarzenegger said. It doesn't make any sense to me because we have to fight Trump, yet we become Trump. And on the morning of September 10, opponents of the ballot measure rallied in Orange County, speaking about how redrawing congressional districts would dilute the voice of communities around the state. We're here because Proposition 50 poses a serious threat to Orange County's voice, to our communities and our taxpayers. This measure is not about fairness, it's about a power grab, Orange County Supervisor Janet Nguyen said during a rally at the Asian Garden Mall in Little Saigon, a Vietnamese hub in Westminster. And it comes at the expense of our taxpayers, our small businesses, and our minority communities. She noted that Little Saigon would be grouped with Norwalk in Los Angeles County if the ballot measure passes. Ask anybody in this area if they even know where Norwalk is, Nguyen said. That was both sides in Proposition 50 fight rally their bases by Julia Wick and Seema Mehta from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, September 18, 2025. Right, here's something from the perspective section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, September 24, 2025. Reading Prop 50 polls is tricky. Evaluate quality of surveys by sample size, languages offered, duration, by Mark C. Baraback, columnist. Proposition 50, the California Slaps Back Initiatives, is cruising to a comfortable victory on November 4, a slam dunk for Governor Gavin Newsom and efforts to get even with Texas. Or not. It's actually a highly competitive contest between those wanting to offset the GOP's shameless power grab and opponents of Democrats' retaliatory gerrymander, with many voters valuing California's independent redistricting commission and still making up their minds. Obviously, both things can't be true, so which is it? That depends on which of the polls you choose to believe. Political junkies, the news outlets that service their needs, abhor a vacuum, so there's no lack of surroundings that purport to show just where Californians' heads are at a mere 6 weeks before Election Day, which in truth is not all that certain. Newsom's pollster issued results showing Prop 50 winning overwhelming approval. A UC Berkeley LA Times survey showed a much closer contest with support below the vital 50% mark. Others give the measure a solid lead. Not all polls are created equal. It really matters how a poll is done, said Scott Keeter, a senior survey advisor at the Pew Research Center, one of the country's top flight polling organizations. That's especially true today, when response rates are so low and it's so difficult to reach people, especially by telephone. You really do have to consider how it's done, where it comes from, who did it, what their motivation is. Longtime readers of this space, if any exist, know how your friendly columnist feels about horse race polls. Our best advice remains the same it's always been. Ignore them. Take a hike, read a book, bake a batch of muffins, better still, take some time to educate yourself on the pros and cons of the question facing California. Then make an informed decision. Realizing, however, the sun will keep rising and setting, that tides will ebb and flow, that pollsters and pundits will continue issuing their prognostications to an eager and ardent audience, here are some suggestions for how to assay their output. The most important thing to remember is that polls are not gospel truth. Flawless forecasts or destiny carved in implacable stone. Even the best survey is nothing more than an educated guess at what is likely to happen. That said, there are ways to evaluate the quality of surveys and determination which are best consumed with a healthy shaker of salt and which should be dismissed altogether. Given the opportunity, let's look at the methodology. It's usually there in the fine print, which includes the number of people surveyed and the duration of the poll, and whether interviews were done in more than one language. Size matters. When you're trying to contact people at random, you're getting certain segments of the public, rather than the general population, said Mark DiCamillo, director of the Berkeley IGS poll and a collaborator with The Times. So what needs to happen in order for a survey to be a representative of the overall population, you need large samples, which are expensive, and the reason some polls skimp on the number of people they interview. The most conscientious pollsters invest considerable time and effort figuring out how to model their voter samples. That is, how to best reflect the eventual composition of the electorate. Once they finish their interviews, they weigh the results to see that it concludes the proper share of men and women, young and old, and other criteria based on census data. Then polls might adjust those results to match the percentage of each group they believe will turn out for a given election. The more people a pollster interviews, the greater the likelihood of achieving a representative sample. That's why the duration of a survey is also something to consider. The longer a poll is conducted, or out in the field, as they say in the business, the greater the chances of reflecting the eventual turnout. It's also important in a polyglot state like California that a poll is not conducted solely in English. To do so risks underweighting an important part of the electorate. A lack of English fluency shouldn't be mistaken for a lack of political engagement. There's no requirement that a person be able to speak English in order to vote, said Keeter of the Pew Research poll. And in the case of some populations, particularly immigrant groups, that have been in the United States for a long time, they may be very well-established voters, but still not proficient in English to the level of being comfortable taking a survey. It's also important to know how a poll question is phrased, and in the case of a ballot measure, how it describes the matter voters are being asked to decide. How closely does the survey track the ballot language? Are there any biases introduced into the poll? Would you support this measure knowing its proponents abuse small animals and promote gum disease? Something else to watch for. Was the poll conducted by a political party, or for a candidate, or a group pushing a particular agenda? If so, be very skeptical. They have every reason to issue selective or one-sided findings. Transparency is key. A good pollster will show his or her work, as they used to say in the classroom. If they won't, there's good reason to question their findings, and, well, you should. A sensible person wouldn't put something in their body without being 100% certain of its content. Treat your brain with the same care. That was Reading Prop 50 Polls is Tricky by Mark Z. Barabak, columnist, from the Perspective section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. And this one, from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times, Thursday, September 25th, 2025, Schwarzenegger ad targets gerrymandering, USC raises concerns, by Seema Mehta. Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who championed the creation of an independent commission to draw California's congressional districts, returned to state voters' TV sets on Tuesday in a new ad opposing a November ballot measure by state Democrats to boost their party's ranks in Congress. A committee opposing Proposition 50, which would replace districts drawn by an independent commission with ones crafted by partisans, plans to spend $1 million per day airing the ad statewide. Schwarzenegger describes the ballot measure as one that does not favor voters, but is in the interest of entrenched politicians. That's what they want to do, is take us backwards. That is why it is important for you to vote no on Proposition 50, the Hollywood celebrity and former governor said in the ad, which was filmed last week when he spoke to USC students. The Constitution does not start with we, the politicians, it starts with we, the people. Democracy. We've got to protect it, and we've got to go and fight for it. A USC official sent a letter to the campaign's lawyer saying the university had not given permission for a camera crew to film Schwarzenegger's remarks for an ad. The event was intended to be an inspiring discussion about Governor Schwarzenegger's remarkable life, his public service, and the importance of democracy. Michael Blanton, vice president of USC's Office of Professionalism and Ethics, wrote to attorney Stephen S. Lucas. USC is neutral on Proposition 50 and intends to remain neutral. The university did not give permission for the use of its name or logos for campaign purposes, nor did USC interim president Byung-Soon Kim, who interviewed Schwarzenegger at the event, give permission for the use of his name or image, Blanton wrote. The campaign supporting Proposition 50 countered by releasing an ad on Tuesday featuring Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York. California, you know we don't back down from a fight. And this November, the fight belongs to you, the liberal firebrand says in the ad. Donald Trump is redrawing the election maps to force through a Congress that only answers to him, not to the people. If he gets away with it, all bets are off for our health care, our paychecks, and our freedoms. With Prop 50, we can stop him. Redistricting is the redrawing of congressional boundaries that typically occurs once a decade following the U.S. Census to account for population shifts. The process rarely attracts the attention it has this year because of a heated battle to determine control of a closely divided Congress in the final 2 years of President Trump's tenure. After Trump urged Texas and other GOP-led states to redraw their congressional districts earlier this year to boost the number of Republicans in the House, California Democrats, led by Governor Gavin Newsom, countered by putting a rare mid-decade redistricting on a specially election November ballot that would likely boost the number of Democrats in the body. Schwarzenegger, long a champion of political reform, is not part of any official Proposition 50 campaign. Since leaving office, he has prioritized good governance at his institute at USC and campaigned for independent redistricting across the nation. Yet is being aired by the most well-funded effort, opposing Proposition 50, one that is bankrolled by Charles Munger Jr., a major GOP donor who underwrote the ballot measures that created California's independent commission. Munger has already donated $30 million to a campaign opposing the November ballot measure, according to fundraising disclosures filed with the Secretary of State's office. The other large opposition effort has raised more than $5 million. The main group supporting Proposition 50, led by Newsom, has raised more than $54 million. These fundraising figures are based on required disclosures of large contributions. More complete fundraising numbers must be filed with the state Thursday. That was Schwarzenegger at Target Gerrymandering, USC Raises Concerns, by Seema Mehta, from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times, Thursday, September 25th, 2025. Folks, that'll do it for this edition of Voter Information. keep it right here for this election and any elected officials right here in the city, the state, and the nation. Until next time, everybody, this is your election guru, Mark Braun. Happy voting and peace.